Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Fellow earthling scum, Ray Ratto here, but not Damon Bruce. He's busy soiling the United States' reputation in another country. So with me instead is the adorable Alan Stiles.
Hi, Alan. Ray.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Ray?
I'll let you know in about 3 hours. In the meantime, there's no alcohol here, so why don't we just get to the news? Stephen Curry got reevaluated today, or at least we got an update on it. And apparently, they bumped up his reevaluation time to a week from now. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, he's going to miss at least the next four games, which is tomorrow night at LA against the Lakers, Friday at home against Houston, Sunday against Minnesota, and then Tuesday against Portland. What does this suggest to you about how long he's actually going to be out? Do you think it's just going to be four games, or how much further after that?
Well, that's the whole thing about this reevaluation. Whenever you don't have a hard date, it's hard to say. But look, they said all the right things in the release. They said that he's moving in the right direction. He started individual workouts. He's making good progress. So I'm not specifically worried about it. I think he is on track. We all just are in this. We're going to get into Brock Purdy. Whenever our athletes get injured, it's just this optimistic light that we try to cast over everything. And sometimes you get hit with reality, and this is the reality. And looking at the Warriors and what they're going to have to do to overcome it, this is a little bit more time. But I think that there's nobody in the Warriors organization surprised. Let's say that.
Well, I mean, they're the ones who get to do the announcing, so I can't imagine why they'd be surprised.
Well, when they got the initial news.
But my theory has always been, whenever they say we're going to reevaluate, that usually means add 2 weeks.
Right.
Because they are more conservative than most. And that would take them through next weekend, which is Clippers, Pelicans, and then the start of a three-game roadie. So I think we're looking at least six, maybe more than that, at a time when they're down to the final third of their season.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not out of anything yet, but they can see out of it from where they're standing if they don't do well while he's out.
I think it's to the point now where you start playing with the idea of, and like you said, they never rush anybody back. Maybe if there was some type of race going on, but you haven't shown the ability to play at a championship level for a long stretch of time, right? Their longest streak was five games, and that was against not great competition at home, and they had to scrape to get those five straight. I think the Warriors at this point are on the other side of things, and they're not, if they're conservative as they normally are, add some more conservativeness to that. And I don't know when we're going to see Steph, to be completely honest. Because what's the point of rushing him back if you can get him back a little bit before playoff time? Rushing him back to slide into a play-in spot? I don't know how much sense that makes.
Well, I also don't know how close to 100% they're expecting him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is the one exception to the general rule, which is load management ends when the All-Star break ends.
Right.
Because if you're involved in some kind of race, either for the top seed or to get in the top six or to get in the play-in, you're not load managing anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's all hands on deck as often as you can get them out there, which brings us weirdly to the Andrew Wiggins situation, wherein he's missed the last game and the entire All-Star break because he has an unspecified family situation.
Right.
He's not expected to play tomorrow night. And I think, given that it's a back-to-back, that it seems unlikely that he would play Friday against Houston either. I mean, that's just a guess on my part. But that makes them that much weaker, because even though he has not been the Andrew Wiggins of a year ago, he's still more helpful than whatever they're going to be bringing off the bench for 32 minutes a night.
No, and GP2 was the addition, but the addition that cannot play right now. So it's a lot of DiVincenzo, who's been playing well. It's continued Klay Thompson, you know, attempting to guard the other team's best guard or small forward. And you have Jordan Poole, who's going to have to do his thing. And you look up, Ray, and Klay Thompson, outstanding month of January. I would say Jordan Poole played pretty darn well, or has played pretty darn well, with Steph out. And you look up, and they didn't come out to be victories, a lot of them. So that's the tough thing about it. Andrew Wiggins adds a dimension to this team offensively and defensively that nobody else matches. And that's Steph included, because Steph obviously beats them offensively. You have defensively, you have Draymond, but there's no other Andrew Wiggins that you can count on at times to get a bucket or stop a bucket. They don't have anybody else.
No, they don't. They've been running with a real thin margin for error, mm-hmm, all year long. And that's why the defensive problems they've had look as bad as they do.
Right.
I mean, it's just, if you are not going to be scoring 120 a night, which is like Denver Nuggets in the 90s territory.
Yeah.
You can't give up 118. And they are routinely among the league leaders now in games where you allow 120 or more. They're not just inconsistent defensively, they're not good defensively. Mm-hmm. And I don't know at this point how they get any better. I mean, I think maybe we're looking at the defensive team that they're going to be, which means they're either going to have to be sensational on the offensive end,
mm-hmm,
or they're going to be quick and out.
Where are you at with, it's more of a CYO, you know, some young kids playing basketball thing, but where are you at on the whole defense's effort? Is that overblown?
It's the foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NBA, it's also recognizing schemes, it's nuances, it's not jumping into guys. I mean, there's a lot of things about it, but if you're not going to put in the effort to be good defensively, then there's nothing you can do about that. You can't play Rover in the NBA, right, and get away with stuff. You have to be a hard worker, and you got to be sound fundamentally to play proper defense in this league. And I don't think that they don't work hard enough. I think they're just sloppy at it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the young guys are not very good defensively.
No.
I mean, Poole is not good defensively. DiVincenzo's not really there to be a defensive stopper. Kuminga is very hit or miss. So really, who are your prime defenders? They,
yeah,
are Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
They are Green. They are Looney. Those are the three guys you can rely on night in and night out that will not only put the effort in, but make it look like there's positive things happening on that end of the floor. But you're not a good defensive team if you only got three guys who can do that.
And everybody wants to continue to go back and compare this team to last year's team. And I'm looking around as we talk about defensively. You have GP2 back. Obviously, you haven't had him, but you add GP2 to the mix. Where is the difference defensively between DiVincenzo? Might be, people might think he's a little bit of a better defender than he is because he, you know, he went to Villanova, and I just think the way he defends looks like he's a really good defender. He might look like he's a really good defender. He's not a bad defender, but I don't know if he's as good as people just think because he looks like he's working really hard.
Well, he looks like a good defender this year in part because you're comparing him to some other guys on that team.
Yes, he's better than the rest
of
the team.
He is not a swinging tavern door.
No, he's not a safety cone.
No, but you know, he at least will give you the honest effort.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that he's not going to play much if he doesn't do that.
Right. Well, you didn't mention Kuminga.
No, I did mention Kuminga in briefly. I think he's hit and miss defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times when he's just eye-opening.
Right.
And other times he's cringeworthy, like any young player.
Mm-hmm.
Because defense is not something that you pick up right away. You've got to learn stuff. I mean, Looney was not a great defender for probably the first 4 years of his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was just limited physically. Couldn't get up off the ground. He was slow. His hips were bothering him. But now, he can lock down guys who are bigger than him.
Right. And going back to the whole last year versus this year thing, I'm looking around at the two rosters, and last year, they were good defensively. I don't think Otto Porter Jr. makes that big of a difference. You have GP2 back, even though you haven't had him, and he's not playing right now. But Otto Porter Jr., GP2, and Bielitsa, and you get DiVincenzo, and they're this worse defensively? That doesn't make sense.
Well, it's because those guys were bridge players.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Warriors are thin to a point where they need guys who were bridge players to be impact players.
Right.
And I don't think, frankly, they're deep enough to do the things they did last year defensively. You know, I think their limitations become that much more glaring. And because teams now know they can attack, not with impunity, but they know there's an excellent chance of success either by getting the basket or getting fouled.
Right. Well, and then if you don't get the basket or get fouled, you're probably getting the offensive rebound. That's the other piece of this. So that is not a good recipe for a good defensive team.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.